Let's take a moment, shall we? And let's invite the Holy Spirit to be here, to be among us today. He already is, by the way, but let's do that intentionally ourselves, shall we? Does that sound good? Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for all the incredible work that you have been doing and the incredible work that we get to hear today as part of this body of believers. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you unite us together as a body? God, we extend a special welcome to our children today. Thank you for the privilege of our children, God. We ask and pray a special prayer on our dads who are called by your word to be the spiritual leaders of their home. God, would you give them the wisdom they need to lead the way you've called us to? So, Lord, today, as we focus on you, Holy Spirit, the divine invasion, as we close our time together in this series, we pray that you would invade our hearts, God, that you would reach down deep within us, God, that you would challenge us, that you would change us, God, that you would mold us and shape us to be the men and the women of God that you've called us to be. God, we are dependent upon you. And so in these next few minutes together, we pray, Holy Spirit, you would do the work in us that only you can do. We love you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. For your love is better than life. Thank you for the bond of love, the Holy Spirit. We yield to you. We thank you for your presence. We welcome your ministry, Holy Spirit. Teach us, touch us, deliver us, heal us, save us, encourage us, comfort us. As we give you extravagant worship today, God, we submit to you. You are here. Thank you for your ministry among us. We praise you, God. We give you every component of our worship service to you. Unite us, for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. May your glory shine upon all of us here. And may it be so powerful that it would ooze out from the four walls of this building into our community around us, into our surrounding towns, into the North Shore and beyond. May this fire of revival spread all throughout the nations for your glory, God. We honor you, Lord. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We're going to ask our children if they would like to come up. Martha Wilson has agreed to teach a special time for the children.
Awesome. Who is your best friend? Huh? Do you have a best friend? Huh? Who's your best friend?
Alex.
Ah, yeah. How about you? Jake. Mm-hmm. You like to spend time with your best friend too, don't you? Well, when Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples, he promised them that after he went away, he was going to send them a new friend. He called him friend the Spirit of Truth, also the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus' disciples were pretty sad to think that Jesus was going to go away. But remember that Jesus was killed, right? And he died. But we celebrated Easter. Why did we celebrate Easter? Why did we celebrate Easter? Right, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from that dead. So that friend that Jesus was talking about raised him from the dead. And after that, Jesus spent 40 days spending time with his disciples. Can you imagine how happy the disciples were to have Jesus back again? And he talked to them about many things, but he still kept promising them that friend, that special friend, the Holy Spirit. Well, after 40 days, Jesus went up into heaven to be with God the Father. And the disciples stayed together for the next 10 days, and they spent a lot of time in prayer. Now, what do you think they might have prayed about during that time? Could you spend 10 days just praying? Well, did you ever have an argument with your friend? What did Jesus say about if we were angry with our friend? What did he tell us to do? If you're angry with your friend, what did Jesus say? Did he say continue to be angry? No, what did he say? Yeah, be forgiving. So I suspect that one of the things that happened during that 10 days is that maybe some of the people, like James and John, who had argued about who was going to be the greatest in kingdom, they probably spent some time forgiving one another and loving each other. And I suspect that during that 10 days of prayer, that God talked to some people about things that were maybe wrong in their life, that he wanted them to give up. So on that 10th day, the Bible tells us they were in one place, like we are, all together, and they were in one accord. That means they were in agreement with one another. They weren't angry with one another. They didn't hold any grudges. They had forgiven. Their hearts were pure. And this 10th day was called the Feast of Pentecost. That's the Greek word. The Jewish word was the Feast of Harvest, because in Israel, they have two harvests, and this was the early harvest, and it was a time to celebrate what God had given them. It was also a time to celebrate that God gave them the Ten Commandments, because the Jewish people said, when we received the Ten Commandments, we were freed from idolatry and immorality, and so they wanted to celebrate that. So those disciples who were all together and their minds were clear with God, suddenly there was a rushing wind and the Holy Spirit fell on them. It went like a wildfire through the whole group. Everyone, 120 disciples received the Holy Spirit. And they were awestruck and excited. And you know what else? They started speaking in many languages. Now, why do you think that was important that day? Anybody have any idea? Well, on that, yeah?
To other people.
Exactly. Because on Pentecost Sunday, there was a lot of people from all over who came to Jerusalem as pilgrims to celebrate. And they spoke different languages. And they were able to hear what God, the disciples were telling them about Jesus. Well, you know, a lot of these people had been living out of the country. They didn't know about Jesus. So Peter stood up and he started telling them, said, Jesus is the one that King David prophesied about, who is going to come to save us. You know, when you're saved, you're safe. What's important about being safe? Do you like to feel safe or do you like to feel dangerous, in trouble? Huh? Safe, yeah. Our parents keep us safe, don't they? They try at least. Yeah. And so Jesus was sent to be our Savior, to save us, to keep us safe. And so Peter talked to them about how Jesus, God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus, and then how Jesus has died. But remember, did Jesus stay dead? No, the Holy Spirit raised him. And so when the people heard this, they said, tell us, what should we do? What should we do? I mean, this is amazing stuff. If you find out The first time that Jesus came to make you safe and he was raised from the dead, what should we do? And Peter told them, change your lives and receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized. Well, do you know what happened? 3,000 people, 3,000 became Christians that day. And the Christians went on and they received the Holy Spirit and they did some special things. They lived in agreement with one another and they had community together and they celebrated God's Supper and they followed the teachings of Jesus. Yeah? Okay, wait. Hey. And they spent time in prayer. And do you know what? Bible says that in general, the people looked at the Christians and they liked what they saw. And every day there were new Christians. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do, to make us so that we can be liked by people. The people are going to see what we are like and like it if we let the Holy Spirit come in.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?"
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We have an opportunity here to experience maybe a little bit of what that could have been like. God has blessed us with so many different nationalities within our small congregation, and so let's participate in this together.
Giovanni 3:16, poiché Dio ha dato amato il mondo che ha dato il suo uno figliuolo affinché giunte credo in lui non persa mai ma abbia la vita eterna.
하나님이 세상을 이처럼 사랑하사 독생자를 주셨으니 이는 저를 믿는 자마다 멸망치 않고 영생을 얻게 하려 하심이라.
神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的人不至灭亡，反得永生.
Caroth du abid, gymaintne iso roi nagfab. Mewni bob yn sydd y credu yn ddoef baidio mynd ddistro ond cael bywyd trwgyddol.
Porque tanto amó Dios al mundo que dio a su Hijo unigénito para que todo el que cree en él no se pierda sino que tenga vida eterna.
Psaume 23, l'Éternel est mon berger, je ne manque de rien. Il me fait reposer dans de verts pâturages. Il me dirige près des eaux plaisibles. Il ressort mon âme. Il me conduit dans les sentiers de la justice à cause de son nom. Quand je marche dans la vallée de l'ombre de la mort, je ne crains aucun mal quand tu es avec moi. Ta houlette et ton bâton me rassurent. Tu dresses devant moi une table en face de mes adversaires. Tu endures ma tête et ma coupe de bois. Oui, l'Éternel m'accompagneront de la grâce jusqu'à la fin de mes jours. Je l'habiterai dans la maison de l'Éternel jusqu'à la fin de mes jours. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord's Prayer.
Padre nostro che sei in cielo, Padre nostro che sei santificato sia il tuo nome, venga il tuo regno, hagasi la tua volontà in la terra come nel cielo. Danos oggi il pan de ese día y perdonen vuestras deudas como nosotros perdonamos vuestros deudores. Y no os dejéis caer en la tentación, sino que librándonos del malo. Amén.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, folks.
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen. I promise you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins."
Amen.
"And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yeah. Yeah. "The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Man. Folks, this is what God is doing among us. This is the power of the Holy Spirit working among us, leading us to a place where we can make a difference in this world. It's not about making the next dollar. It's not about being popular, is it? No. What it's about is it is about life and death. God is moving. We've heard stories during this series, Divine Invasion. The Holy Spirit has been invading lives. Many of us, we've already shared over the last few weeks. And we have a few more that are going to share. And I just want to say this. We are open to the Holy Spirit. And if He is speaking to you and you would like to share about how the Holy Spirit has invaded your life and is invading your life right now, you'll have an opportunity to do that in just a few minutes. This is the message today, that God wants to speak to us. He wants to use you, and He wants to use me right where we are, in our workplaces, in our places of residence, our neighborhoods. He wants to use you, and He wants to use me. Will you say yes? Will you say, "Here I am, send me, Lord"? That's what He wants. My mom's going to share a wonderful story of God's invading presence in her life.
I hope you don't mind I read it so I don't miss any details. About a week or two ago, there came a knock on my door. It was a lady who lived down back of our property, way down from us. She was there to inquire if we knew who had girdled quite a few trees, down past our yard. I rather nervously told her that it had been us. I could tell by her expression that we were in for it.
What does girdle mean?
It means kind of chop the tree around so that within 5 or 6 years the tree is dead. It's a slow way of taking trees down. We explained that over 20 years ago, we had talked to her husband and obtained permission. to reopen our slight ocean view as we were paying taxes for that view. So having gotten verbal permission to open and maintain the view, Tom, from time to time, would selectively girdle some of the fast-growing trees, allowing the brush to grow up before the girdled trees would finally die off. She was not so upset when she realized that we had gotten permission. She said that was okay as long as the girdling stopped, which we assured her that it had. Then she proceeded to tell us that the real trouble was with a new neighbor who had bought the house from her, and he was upset enough to go see a lawyer. Not 2 hours after she had left, another knock came at my door. I knew without a doubt that this was her new angry neighbor. Before he left, I was assured by him that we were in what he called big trouble. I asked him if he was out for blood, and he assured me that he was, and he was going to get it. After he left, I felt that old demon fill my heart. I couldn't even think straight, and my emotions hit bottom. To say I was instantly depressed was an understatement. Just as I thought I was going to crash emotionally, I was suddenly reminded of where I needed to go with my heavy burden. I immediately went to my place of prayer and started to pour out my heart to the Lord. As I did so, I began to remember and started to write down the promises I knew were right there in God's word for times just like these. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, for I am with you. And other verses like, my peace I leave with you, and I will not leave you comfortless. And all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I recalled these beautiful promises, I felt my anxiety start to lift. But what took the cake was when I felt the Lord remind me that all I have and all I am does not belong to me. It's all his. That means that trouble or calamity may come our way anytime, and I can lose it all in a day. But nothing can take away my true riches in Christ Jesus. If I became a pauper, I am still a king's kid. My inheritance is not here in this world where moth and rust corrupts, but it's safe in heaven where nothing can take it away. Now, that is something to get excited about. My gloom had lifted and grateful tears poured down my face. Meanwhile, Tom had found out where the neighbor was and paid him a visit. It turned out they knew each other. And after Tom explained to him that he had been given permission over 20 years ago, and the man realized that it had not been negligent, he had not been negligent in his selective tree work, he calmed down and said that if Tom would cut down one large pine that had been girdled at the edge of his property, he would settle the whole suit. Sometimes, this is a lesson learned, sometimes God allows us to go through troubled situations to teach us that he is able to give us peace in the midst of the storm. And no matter how this story had ended, we knew his peace before we knew the end of the story. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Sometimes when I speak from the heart, just God stirs it and emotions. Man, it must have been about 20 years ago. I'm 13, 14, in a youth group in a church in Wales. someone was speaking or something. I wasn't really paying attention. Yeah. And I was sitting there doodling away. And then I look at this picture I've drawn. And it's like a big ladder. And it goes up to a loft opening. And it was slightly cracked. You couldn't see what was in it, but you could see there was something there. And it was, you know. And a big thing with me and God. I'm sorry, I'm boring myself sometimes. I'm in my head going, get on with it. big thing in my life is not knowing what God's plan is for my life. Undoubtedly, he has a plan. My favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And this picture I had, this ladder going up to this loft opening, I pictured myself at the bottom of this ladder, and I realized this was my life. There's something up there that God has got for me, that it's, in a way, I felt sense that he had hidden it from me because it was so big at that time. Too much for me to take in. I was like, wow. I put this sketch in my Bible along with a whole load of other stuff that I kept in my Bible. And every now and again, during study times, church, meetings, whatever, I'd turn in my Bible and I'd see this picture I drew and I remember. It got to the point where I had so much stuff in my Bible, it was twice as thick as it was when I first received it and it was falling apart. So I got a new Bible, but I left everything in there, including this picture. About 6-7 years ago, I got a new Bible, and I hadn't seen the picture since, obviously, because the old Bible was away with a picture inside. So I didn't really reflect on it or dwell on it. Just under 2 years ago, I moved to the States. I got married. And on my flight over here, God just showed me the picture again. Thank you. I'll take a few. Yeah, on the plane, just out of nowhere. I hadn't seen this picture for a good couple of years, 5-6 years, and then I was moving over here, and then I was sitting down enjoying the film on the plane, and there it was, this ladder, this loft opening. This time, I was further up the ladder. Which blew me away, because I'd screwed up in between the times, and I didn't think that was still relevant to me. So that was a bit of an awakening. Moving here, I found this awesome church. And a few months ago, during one of Dan's sermons, N- there was his picture again. And you were, I was so close to the loft opening. You could almost reach it. But more than that, it was then I realized this picture, this vision, it wasn't just a personal thing for me. It wasn't just for my life. I realized there was such a connection with this body of people, this church, where it came from, and what God's got in store for it. There's such amazing things that God's got in store. Not just for me, but for here and for very, very soon. And he might have given me this picture 20 years ago, but it's for now. It's for now. So, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Who would have thought 20 years ago a little bratty 13-year-old Welsh kid would be given a vision by the Holy Spirit that would be fulfilled among us? God's plan for us. How is the Holy Spirit invading your life? This is your time to share with your family. Yeah. Oh, he's a preacher. Oh, dear. And we're giving him a microphone.
You need a microphone.
The good news is I'm a retired preacher. And I was also a counselor, so I learned to listen as well as speak. I wanted to share two things. One to Steve. There was a preacher, and a well-known preacher, who was giving service at a tent meeting, being held by a small group of believers in, I think it was North Carolina, and he had preached his heart out this particular night. And actually, throughout the week, he had preached, and there was just no response at the altar. And this was the last night, and he was discouraged. He felt like he had failed. But he gave everything he had that night to preach. And when it was all over and he gave the altar call, the only person to come was a 13-year-old boy. And again, the preacher felt that he had failed. So many adults in the congregation, and who comes but a 13-year-old boy by the name of William Graham. And so, praise God for the gift he gave to you in that vision and for what you have now come to understand that it means.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Second thing I want to share is real quick. When I retired, I actually was serving as an associate pastor. I had been a senior pastor in Maine for quite some time and a counselor, but I was serving as an associate pastor at the Danvers Nazarene, no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one, the Ipswich Nazarene Church. Some of them are here, so I feel like I'm still there. But I retired from there, and then my wife and I moved to Virginia to be with the grandchildren we had. Little did I know. But anyway, for the first couple of years, I really struggled because I didn't belong anywhere. I went to a church that was extremely different than the traditional church I was used to. By the way, I still go to that church, and I'm active in that church because I have learned of all the wonderful things that they do. And they're coming around, you know, they're getting a little more traditional. But the thing that really has blessed my soul is that after several years of just feeling empty, not feeling like I knew where to go, where God wanted me to go. He opened my, he put on my heart to write a book. And as I began to write the book, I began to realize and feel like, you know, I'm almost cheating by putting my name as the author of that book, because he was constantly filling me and inspiring me. And so the words that are there don't feel like my words. They feel like his words.
Praise the Lord.
I won't tell you the name of the book because that would be a commercial. Pastor Dan can tell you later. But I can tell you that it has been one of the hardest fights I've had in my life. Because when you do something for God, and it's something God really wants you to do, there's one who really doesn't want you to do it. And he has been there at every turn to make it very difficult. But God is stronger than he is. And so by the end of June, I hope to turn the manuscript over, and then the publishing process will begin, and probably by fall, it'll be out there. But I just want to praise his name, because there's times for all of us when we just don't know where that ladder is going to lead.
That's right.
But I can promise you one thing. In his time, he makes all things beautiful.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Jim. That's great. How is God invading your life? Let's keep it really short and sweet so that we can get as many people as possible. How is God working in your life?
Maggie.
My name is Maggie. I don't like to speak, but 8 years ago, I lost my husband. 2 months old, like Chloe, about 2 months old. I became like, you know, so angry. I mean, I know hate is a strong word, but I use it all the time. I used to hate to go to church. I mean, I always questioning God, why me? Like, you know, my dream was like, you know, to go to school, go to college, have a good dream, like, you know, enjoy my life without kids. No kids, no husband. I just want to have a good life. Like, before me and my ex-husband, like, you know, we get married, I had a dream. God said, like, you have a mission in this world. Like, you know, you have to have your family so you can pursue, like, you know, the dream. Okay, like, you know, my husband and I, like, you know, we both from Haiti. He used to talk to me since when I was in Haiti. But, like, you know, I came here. He's still in Haiti. He was a military man in Haiti. And I gave him, like, you know, residence. He came here. Like, you know, we get married. We have Chloe. Like, 2 months after I have my daughter, he died. No sickness. He was a strong man. He was working so hard. Like, you know, I became like, you know, I said, you know what? There's no place for me in this world. I don't want to live anymore. And I keep crying, go to therapy, like, you know, session over session, 3 times a week, like, you know, crying. But I said, you know what? I have to be strong for my daughter. And then, like, you know, my mom said, you have to be there for her because, like, you know, she have no one else but you. I said, Mom, what's the point? Me and Chloe, there's no need for us to be in this world. Because, like, you know, I mean, he was 36 years old, a young guy. He was never sick, never go to the hospital. I mean, he was a military man. Like, you know, he was, I mean, to me, he was fine. And then I said, you know what? I don't want to leave. I mean, I have Chloe. It's been like a year. I don't know what that means, taking care of her. I don't know nothing about her. Like, you know, my family taking care of her. Like me, like, you know, keep going back and forth to the hospital. Like, you know, I mean, they kept me there. Like, you know, because I was suicidal. I want to kill myself. One day while I was in the hospital, I see someone, like, you know, said, why are you doing that to yourself? God sent me to help you because you have a mission in this world. So you have to embrace your daughter and continue the mission. And then since then, I'm still like, you know, I mean, in friend portage, I don't want to go to church. I said, I'm not going. Because since I was 18, I was baptized. I go to church. I was in the choir. I used to like, you know, to the, I mean, kids, like, you know, choir. I said, you know what? There's no place for me. I'm not going to church. So now I became in the world. I go party. I do stuff. Like, you know, I said, you know what? I'm not going to church. Church is not for me. But when I realized, like, you know, I mean, God have done a lot for me. Because, like, if it wasn't God, I was not going to be here. After a C-section, your husband died, like, you know, 2 months after your daughter, there's no way you could have made it. Mm. I said, like, you know, thank you, God. God gave me. God take away. Then I'm still going to praise him. Since then, I said, you know what? Even though sometimes I'm very discouraged to come to church, like, you know, I go to Calvary Church. I became, like, you know, a member, start going to Calvary. I said, you know what? There's no place for me there. Everywhere I go, I said, there's no place for me. But, like, you know, DCN, like, you know, was the first place I came when I moved from New York to here. And I keep coming. Like, you know, the first time I asked Pastor Dan, do you help Haiti? Because, like, you know, a lot of church that I go, they don't even recognize, they don't even mention Haiti. I said, you know what? I'm not going to a church who don't even know if my country exists. So Pastor then said, yes, we recognize Haiti. Like, you know, they do, they send there, they send this when the earthquake. I said, you know what? I'm going to stay there. But still, I have some things that, you know, you don't belong in church. Still, like, you know, Pastor Elisha, I have a big thanks to him. He keep pushing me, calling me, texting me. Like, you know, Pastor then said, like, you know, we're missing you. You and Chloe. Like, you know, I said, this is my family. So that's where I belong. And then I know God has something for me, amen. A surprise. And I'm waiting for the surprise.
Oh, amen. Praise God. Woo. Praise the Lord.
I do genealogy. And I look into my family. And I find people and names and occupations and farmers and pastors and fishermen and mariners and you name it, they're in my genealogy, and I have like 10,000 names in my computer that are all related to me by blood. But May 12th, 1972, 44 years ago last Thursday, I became a child of the King.
Amen.
I knelt at an altar rail. I'd been brought up in a Christian home, thought I was okay, that everything I did was going to get me to heaven. Mm-hmm. And Jesus spoke to me through the Holy Spirit that Amen. Night. Amen. And I became a member of that family. And that family is so important. You guys yeah. are my family. You're not in my biological genealogy, but you're in my spiritual genealogy. That's right. And I just praise the Lord that I'm here, that my family is here, my children, my grandchildren. The legacy is being passed on. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
The Holy Spirit invading you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dan. I feel a strong conviction that I have been called to be a pastor.
Praise the Lord.
I have never been so sure about that truth since last year when I went to NYC. Amen. Nazarene Youth Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. It was amazing. And I met a friend there. Her name is Cassidy. When I first met her, I didn't know all that much about her, you know, just getting to know her and everything. And soon I realized that there was a lot of things under the surface. She had a lot of different problems. She was suicidal and prone to depression, and she's still like that today. I can happily say that she is still one of my best friends, and she's still alive, And I praise God for that every single day. And I've never been so sure about being a pastor, because every single day that I talk to her, every time that her and I have a conversation, I feel so enwrapped by the Spirit to just say what God needs me to say to her. When she was young, I'm not going to get into the story very, very much, but she grew up in a church, and there was a youth pastor there. And that youth pastor did a lot of things that were not the things that a youth pastor is supposed to do. Very sexual things. And it was a terrible thing, especially when she told me about it. And I couldn't... I was so dumbfounded. There's a type of evil in this world to come up into the church like that. It's just wrong. And so I want to do what God has called me to do so that we can stamp out that type of evil in this world.
That's right. Here I am, send me.
So we can change this world through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the youth have the power to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Dan, the anointing of the Lord is upon you.
Pray for us, Lord.
Father, you have called your servant to be your mouthpiece, to bear the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness of this world. Anoint him with the power of your Holy Spirit. Give him the words that come with the burning coal from off the altar. Even in the dark times, let that call be so strong. And we pray for this young girl, Lord, even now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, speak the words of hope and love to him, that she might see the light. Hallelujah. We praise you for raising up another generation of anointed servants, powerful in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Give you glory.
Praise the Lord.
It was about 52 years ago on a Pentecost evening, Walla Walla First Church of the Nazarene. There really is a Walla Walla, Washington. I didn't know what was going on. But we sang a couple hymns, you know, and the pastor got up and he prayed. And somewhere in that prayer, I heard these words, as clear as anything: Larry, you're going to be a preacher. And I go, oh. I was so happy. And even when I tried to deny the existence of God, I couldn't say that I hadn't heard from him. And that call carried me all the way through the darkness into the light. But I'm not here as a retired preacher, and I'll keep it short and sweet, I promise. As a fellow journeyer, as a pilgrim on the way, in the last months, the Holy Spirit has released something to me. I don't even know when or how exactly, except we are in this atmosphere of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that a spirit of worship. I'm really a very shy guy. I have never been one to raise my hands or any of that stuff in worship, honest. But there's a new freedom in my soul. Strongholds that have been there for a long, long time, they're just gone. I don't even know how it happened, but they're gone. There's a new freedom. And I shared with Mark this morning, part of it is beginning to learn and to know how much I am loved by God. And that love just spills out. And I am excited for the fulfillment of this vision.
That's right. Amen.
You have heard about the Welsh revival, have you not? I believe that's what's behind that trap door. Amen. And I'm beginning to see in my own visions streams of revival coming down where there has been a deposit of the Holy Spirit here.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, before we have a time of communion together, we're going to have a time for anyone who would like to stay for prayer. We want to pray for healing. We want to pray for reconciliation. If indeed God is calling you to reconcile with one of your brothers or sisters here within our body, we encourage you to do that. We're going to also pray for deliverance. And of course, if God is speaking to you, maybe you're here this morning and you haven't received Christ. Salvation is yours. Jesus offers and extends salvation for you to come to know him and be part of his family. And we want to leave time for that. But right before we go into communion, we have one more testimony. Brother, how is God invading you?
He's invading me every day, let me tell you. Hey, listen, I'm going to make this short and sweet because I can talk forever. So on the way here this morning, I wasn't going to come here. Me and my wife were quarreling, and on the way, I'm like, you know something, Teresa? Maybe we're quarreling, and, you know, Satan doesn't want us to get here today. So I'm like driving down Route 1, heading to Richardson's, and I'm like, onto Dayton Street, and here I am. So, but like in 2000, for one of the things that I've always been given in my head is, you know, God, I see this like God speaking to Satan, no, you can't have him. So, and throughout a lot of my life, there's been so many times, Wally, why didn't you die from that? Why didn't you die from this overdose? Why didn't you die from that accident? And it's always come to my head, you can't have them. So, like 2003, I was in bed. I had this dream or a vision, whatever you want to call it. And I'm always, when I wake up, I write stuff down. I won't forget that, you know? So, and just listening to Steve's, you know, the ladder and stuff that he had. I remember this one was so specific and dealt with me in such a powerful way from the Holy Spirit that it was actually me. I was in the waste disposal industry my whole life, and I was at a disposal facility, and the lady came over to me, and you had to wear safety equipment, and the lady says, hey, you can't come in here. You don't have your safety equipment on. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I got it all on, my hard hat, my vest. And she's like, no, you don't. You don't have it on. I'm like, no, serious lady, I do. What are you looking at? And then I realized, I looked at myself. I didn't have the helmet on. I didn't have my reflective vest on. I had a coat over it. And that coat represented sin in my life because Christ showed that to me because I saw him sit on the cross wearing my coat because he bore the sin that I was producing in my own life. And God spoke to me and he said, Wally, and there was a little child next to me, hold my hand, and I couldn't figure out what that was about. But God showed me this, like it was a whole, it was like a window cut out in heaven. And he said, Wally, he goes, if you would get rid of this in your life, he goes, when you pray for people, I'm going to open that window in heaven and I'm going to pour blessings down upon them. You know, I love praying for people. It's just something that I have. I'm not uncomfortable with it. I love it. And when God prompts me and moves me, you know, I pray. And it's funny, I was standing here and I was praying back there at the opening of the service and the Holy Spirit just said, Wally, pray for this guy next to me. And it's like, what? I don't want to do that, you know. And it's but with me, when it happens, I know it's real because I'll start like I want to throw up. So I'm sitting back there, no way, I ain't doing it, not in front of everybody. And I just asked Tom. I goes, Tom, what's this gentleman's name over here? Peter. And I said, I was like, there was electricity running through my body, on my fingers, and I just went over and I said, can I pray for you? Boom, right on the head. And I'm like, I'm believing what God told me. In 2003, and we were on vacation. I'll make this quick. I was on vacation, and I was making fun of Tiger Woods when he was going through all that stuff with his wife and hitting the tree and the scandal coming out and stuff like that, and I was making fun of him. 3 o'clock in the morning, I got waked up. Bang, the Holy Spirit smashes me to the floor. This is true. Not literally, but I went down. And I started bawling my eyes out, and all of a sudden, I started writing stuff down, and God was like, you know something, Wally, you need to pray for his family. His wife is devastated right now. He is riddled with guilt, and he's just being torn apart. Pray for that family. And he showed me there was six holes. They were voids in my life. Five had been filled, and it said 2016, and that one was open. That was 8-9 years ago. And guess what? This is 2016. That kid testimony about this church right now. There's something big that's going to happen this year. I totally believe that. If we would just respond to him, things are going to happen. I'm serious. I feel that convicted about this, and what a blessing it is to be here, and thank you, Lord, for making me dart over to Dayton Street. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Jesus, we are just so blessed by your love and your work in our hearts and in our lives. God, we want to be people who you use the way you intended. And so, God, would you continue to work in our hearts, Lord, as we remember what you've done for us today in a very special way, in a very intimate way with one another. We ask, God, that you would build this body of believers, that you would build the relationships within. God, just a few years ago, you made it clear to me that you're going to change this church through relationships. Those relationships between us and you, the vertical relationship, Lord, but also the horizontal relationships between us and one another. God, you've called us to be countercultural. You've called us, Lord, to do things that don't make sense when you look at the American way of life and culture. God, that is to not be independent. That is to lean on one another, God. We don't put any people, any person in your place. But God, we acknowledge that you have called us to grow spiritually in the context of relationships with one another. And so help us, God, to be more vulnerable and more trusting of one another, to not assume the worst, but to assume only the best. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for what you've done. In these next few moments, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us again, that you would minister to our hearts as we remember what Jesus has done for us through this time, the Lord's Supper. We thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.